Praise the Lord. God is so good, isn't he? And he is here in this place this morning, and amen. I know he's there with you where you're at today. I'm Pastor Sharon, and this is Pastor Rock at Oasis Christian Center, and we just thank you for joining us today.
Amen.
And pastors, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor at this time.
Well, it is neighbor looking time. I know what I was going to say before neighbor looking time. We're going to ask them if they would, if you enjoy this, what we do on Facebook, if you would like us on Facebook, and if also if you would share our broadcast with other people on Facebook, that would be a great blessing. Amen. And also the last thing, if you would give comments. The comments that we've been getting has just been so good and so encouraging, and they really, we just thank God for all the comments. It's a blessing. So now it is neighbor looking time. I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to smile at your neighbor. And I want you to point at your neighbor. And I want you to say, I came
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'm ready.
Are you ready
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'll never ever
be the same
again.
In Jesus' name.
Glory to God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service. And Father, we just thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of your calling. We thank you for revelation knowledge. Holy Spirit, open these scriptures up to us today. Give us new insight and new wisdom on what to do and how to do it. Change us this day into the image of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just thank you that everything said and everything done this day is said and done for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Ask, if you will, to get your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 7. The title of the message today is Judgment-Free Zone. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. I'm going to start with verse number 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, the first thing that I feel impressed of the Holy Spirit to mention is this is not a condemning type message. This is a message for growth for all of us, because it's an area that we can all grow in. And there was a lady, a teenager, this has been 25 or 30 years ago, and I knew about this situation, and she'd started going to a certain church, and she was just getting blessed at this church, and she got born again in this church, and she was just on fire for God. And then she got pregnant, and she wasn't married. And she went back to her church, and some of the people in her church would no longer speak to her. Some of the people in her church would have nothing to do with her. Some of them shunned her. Some of them talked about her behind her back. They judged her. Not everyone, but a lot of them did. Now, that kind of gets me, because I don't want to be that kind of person. It kind of makes my blood boil a little bit, because those people that were condemning her. Now, I've really chosen my words carefully this morning. I could have been much harder on the words that I'm fixing to use. Those self-righteous busybodies, who do they think they are? Nobody is above somebody else. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3 and 23. Galatians 6 and 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. Let that sink in for a second. Now, a lot of times why there's not restoration in the church when somebody has backslidden or fallen away is because there's not a lot of spiritual people a lot of times. Hang on. A lot of Christian people, a lot of backbiting, a lot of judgment, but not a lot of spiritual people that come say, you know, I've made the same mistake, or I could have easily made the same mistake, or I could be in your shoes if something else had happened. And which... ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, A lot of times in the body of Christ, we're real bad about correcting each other and criticizing each other and judging each other. That's not a sign of spiritual maturity. Spiritual people, the real ones, are not looking for the flaws and the faults in others. Spiritually mature people recognize that they have their own flaws and weaknesses. Now, there was a minister that I had never met that he came here years ago. He just visited one time. He was starting a church, and he noticed some of the things that we did. And after the service was over, he mentioned to me one of the things that he didn't like about what we did. And he said, you know, if I was pastor of this church, I would do this, and I would do it this way. And for once in my life, I didn't comment. You know, it's best a lot of times when things are being said like that, not to comment. I paused and didn't comment. Now, there's been plenty of other instances I could tell you about or wouldn't like to tell you about where I did comment and shouldn't have. I should have just let it go. I didn't say anything and I didn't tell him. We originally were doing the thing that he was talking about differently. Actually, we were doing it similar to what he was saying, except that I had felt impressed. We had prayed about it a lot, and I felt impressed that we were supposed to do it the way we were doing it now. I'd put a lot of prayer into it. Okay? Now, there was another minister, and he was a good friend of mine, is a good friend of mine. I love him very much. And he said this remark, and I agreed with it. He said, if I was a pastor of a church, I would do this thing. And I didn't say anything. There again, that's two times. I'm giving you two good times, but there's been plenty of bad times that I've put my 2 cents in when my 2 cents, actually I put in a dollar and a quarter instead of 2 cents, or I put in $1.50, sometimes $1.75, sometimes $10, where I should have just let it go, but I didn't. But what he said is, if he was a pastor, here's what he would do. And what he said, with all of my heart, I wanted to do. I agreed with him 100%. But I prayed about it. And we spent a lot of time in prayer about it. And the Lord directed us, we're not to do it that way. It's not a bad way, but we weren't to do it that way. We're not called to do everything the same as everybody else. You know, that's where we get into judgment. We think, well, somebody else didn't do it just like I did it, so they must be wrong. But that's not true. God leads people to do things differently. We're all different in the body of Christ, and we've got to learn to respect our differences. Sometimes we've got to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes. I am an imperfect pastor, and this is an imperfect church with imperfect members. I found this on Facebook this week. It was a post. It says, those who spend their time looking for the faults in others usually spend no time to correct their own. I thought that was very good. In Isaiah 58 and verse number 9, this is in the Expanded Bible, then you'll call out and the Lord will answer. You'll cry out and He will say, here I am. If you stop making trouble for others, take away the yoke from your midst. If you stop using cruel words and speaking wickedness, get this one, underline this, and pointing your finger at others. Then you'll call out and the Lord will answer. Then you'll cry out and He'll say, here I am. If you stop pointing your finger at others. Wow. That speaks to all of us, doesn't it? This, Oasis Christian Center and Family Church, this is a judgment-free zone. I want to remind you, we're not about judging where you've been or what you've done or the mistakes you've made. It's not about that. It's not about that in the body of Christ. But a lot of times, as Christians, we point the finger and we say a lot, well, if I was them, this is how I would spend my money. Well, if I was them, see, I'm doing it with a finger here. If I was them, this is how I would dress. Well, if I was them, I wouldn't have bought that kind of car. Well, if I was them, I wouldn't live in that kind of house. Well, if I was them, I would raise my children differently. Well, if I was them, I'd keep my big mouth shut. Because you don't know what you would do if you were in their shoes. You think, and I think I know, and we think we all know, but we don't know if we were in their actual shoes. So we need to stop judging how others do things. In John 8, 1 through 11 in the New Living, it's about the woman caught in the act of adultery. Now, the question is, what would Jesus do? WWJD. Now, I'm going to pick it up in verse number 4, and this is in the New Living. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down. He didn't say anything. That's the key. That's the key. He stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. That's powerful. Let the one that has never sinned throw the first stone. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Brother Kenneth Hagin, he's one who went to be with the Lord many years ago, but he used to share this, and I might not get this exactly right, but I'm doing my very best to get it right. He said he was in a group of ministers one day, and they were fellowshipping, and maybe they ate or whatever, and they were all talking. And he said, then the group started talking about one particular minister that wasn't there. And something they were actually gossiping and judging and slandering. And he said after he left that group, God got on to him and said, you know, you're totally in the wrong. And Brother Hagin said he defended himself when the Lord started speaking to him. He said, I didn't say one thing. He said, and God said, you stayed there and you listened. It's the exact same, the word he used to was tantamount. And it says it's the same as you saying it. It's just as if you had said it because you stayed in the presence of it. You didn't walk off when it was said. You were basically saying, I'm in agreement with this because I'm still standing here. That's what you're saying. Then the Lord said to him, who are you to talk about another man's servant? He said, well, I believe what they're saying is true. And the Lord asked him, whose servant is that minister? He said, well, he's your Lord. He's certainly not mine. And the Lord was dealing with him from a scripture, Romans 4:14-4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be held up, for God is able to make him stand. And God spoke to him and told him, he is my servant, and I'll make him stand. And God, Brother Hagin tells about it, God brought this man up to a place of prominence. He brought him, he was highly used of God. After whatever thing they were talking bad about and slander him over, God highly used him because God did it. Amen. I got a friend of mine, and he got born again, and he was serving God with all of his heart. And he was in a good church, and he talked to his church leadership about maybe one day helping out in the church. He was very faithful, never missed services. He's there all the time. We have people just like that here that are here all the time. They're so faithful. Then his leadership at that church, they told him that in this church, in our denomination, he could never be a leader because he had been married before. Hang on, my blood's boiling again. Wait a minute, I've got to calm it down just a little bit because it makes me mad. Self-righteous. Hang on, okay. Don't teach mad. They were judging him because of his past. Glory to God. If you've been rejected because of your race, come here. If you're not accepted because of your past, come here. If you're not accepted because you don't dress in suits and ties and designer labels, come here. I'm not knocking those things. Those things are nice. Those things are good. But I'm saying you are not able not to go to church because of the way that you dress. You're not ostracized because you're not in a suit or the highest priced items that there are. If you're not in the in crowd and you're not one of the cool kids, come here. If you've been rejected at other churches, come here. We have unconditional love for you. We have fellowship for you. We have a judgment-free zone for you. And we have the good news of the Word of God for you. Come here and we'll welcome you with open arms. Now, on Facebook this week, I'm gonna read a statement, then I'm going to read what they said. If you look for the good in others, you'll find it. And that's so true. And on Facebook it said, this week, the most beautiful eyes are those that seek the beauty in others. We judge others because we don't respect each other's right to be different. We tend to judge people who are different than us. For example, right now, some people feel very strongly that they need to wear a mask around other people. And some people feel just as strongly that they don't. Some people feel very strongly that they should stay at home, and other people feel just as strongly that they shouldn't. That reminds me of the scripture in Romans chapter 14. Now, I read verse number 4 a second ago. This is 3 and 5. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Verse number 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. It's not about who's right or wrong about wearing the mask. Respect each other's differences. Respect their right to wear it or our right to wear it or not wear it. Your right to go out or not to go out. Respect it. Sometimes, a lot of times, we're too judgmental, and judgment reveals our soft spots, our insecurities, our weaknesses when we harshly judge others. I had someone tell me about a woman who harshly judged a woman on a walker. She was slow and could hardly get around. The other woman was very hateful toward her and rude to her because of being kept waiting. The woman told me later that this same woman, a little while later, the rude woman, had an accident and she was now on a walker, walking very slowly. Now she was wearing the other woman's shoes, the one she was impatient with and rude to. And I believe we would be slower to judge and criticize others if we'd put ourselves in their shoes. I'm going to give you another one. There was a lady standing in line at a gym. This is a true story. And she's waiting to, I guess, click her badge or whatever to get in the gym. And there's two ladies in front of her. And they're talking and giggling. And they said, well, I wonder if Fat Shamu is here this morning. Shamu is a whale, if you don't know. And I didn't know. They pointed her out. They said, yeah, she's over there on the elliptical. She's such a pig. This is what they were saying. This was their conversation. Then they both swiped their membership cards and chuckled their way into the gym. Now here's two women making fun of a woman, judging her. Sometimes we judge by making fun of. Judging her who was working hard to positively deal with the issue that was being currently laughed at by those ladies. Their harsh judgments revealed a lot more about them than the lady that they were judging. Our pride often tells us that judgment's okay because we know better than the other person. That's a lie. Let me say that again. Our pride often tells us that judgment is okay because we know better than the other person. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Matthew 7 and 1 again, judge not that you be not judged. Jesus is challenging us. Before we seek to call out to another sister or brother's sin, we must check the motives and intentions of our own heart. This is Earl Nightingale, this is a comment by him. When you judge others, you don't define them, you define yourself. When we judge others and we put forth our finger and say vanity, it puts a yoke on us. It causes God to withhold His blessings from us. Judging others causes us to miss out on a lot of the good things and blessings that God has prepared for us. If we change, if we stop doing that judging, God's blessing will flood our lives. One last thing as Pastor Sharon comes. This, Oasis Christian Center, a family church, is a judgment-free zone. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.
Praise God. That was so good. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm going on the same lines as Pastor did, and I'll probably be repeating a lot of the scriptures or some of the scriptures that he quoted and or read. And so be alert. Stay awake. Don't fall asleep in the middle of all that. I'll be reading a lot is what I'm trying to say. And but I believe that it's important to read a lot of scripture just to be plain that, you know, from the Word of God, what the Word of God says. So I want to start in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13, and this is the New Living Translation. It says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be king.' But Samuel asked, 'How can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me.' 'Take a heifer with you,' the Lord replied, 'and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which of his sons to anoint for me.' So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to him to meet him. 'What's wrong?' they asked. 'Do you come in peace?' 'Yes,' Samuel replied. 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice.' Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice too. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, 'Surely this is the Lord's anointing.'" So right here, Eliab must have looked like king material. He must have had that kingly look about him. But in verse 7, the Lord says to Samuel, "Don't judge him by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, and the Lord looks at the heart." So the Lord's saying, you know, don't judge somebody for what I have called them to or what I have called them to be or what position or whatever. Don't judge them by their outward appearance. Evidently, Eliab must have been a tall, strong-looking man. But then the Lord said he's not looking on the outside. He's not looking at Eliab's appearance. He's looking on his heart. He's looking on all of our hearts. He looks at us a whole different way than people look at other people. It says, "Then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, 'This is not the one the Lord has chosen.' Next, Jesse summoned Shimeah. But Samuel said, 'Neither is this the one the Lord has chosen.' In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, 'The Lord has not chosen any of these.' Then Samuel asked, 'Are these all the sons you have?' 'There is still the youngest,' Jesse replied, 'but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats.' 'Send him at once,' Samuel said. 'We will not sit down to eat until he arrives.' So Jesse sent for him. He was a dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, 'This is the one, anoint him.' So David stood there among his brothers. Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, upon David that day, from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah." And so we can see there that God does not look at our outward appearance. He does not go by any outward thing concerning people. He goes by the heart. I mean, the Bible describes David as he was youthful, he was red-haired, He was very good looking. He was tanned. He was beautiful. And he had lovely eyes. Now, evidently he was a very small person too from the Word of God. He was very small. And so David, they thought, you know, David does not look like king material. And so even David's father, Jesse, judged David according to what David looked like on the outside. He might have been small and cute and, you know, all these things on the outside, but the Lord saw on the inside of him that he was a mighty man, that he was a strong person, and so that he had the heart of a king. And so 1 Samuel 13 and 14 and Acts 13 and 22 calls David a man after God's own heart. God saw what was in David's heart. He saw what he could be, who he could be, because God was looking on what was in David's heart. Amen? So David wasn't perfect. You know, he was a work in progress. But he had the heart after God, and that's what God is looking for. A person, a man, a woman whose heart is after God. And I came across this, I guess you would call it, I don't know if you'd call it a joke, or it's just a scenario I came across years ago, and I thought it was so good, and it goes along with this message, and I wanted to share this with you today. The name of it is Shocked in Heaven, and the author is unknown. But it says, I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door, not by the beauty of it all, nor by the lights or the decor, but it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp, the thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, the trash. There stood the kid from seventh grade who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Herb, who I always thought was rotting in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus. What's the deal? I would love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue. Hush, child, he said. They're all in shock. No one thought they'd be seeing you. Amen. That's the way we are. That's the way we are in the flesh. You know, we're judging everybody else, and everybody's judging us. So, you know, we need to just keep our eyes on the Lord, because none of us is perfect. Amen? Thank God he doesn't accept us into his kingdom because we're perfect. He accepts us because we love him, and he loves us. Amen? So, you know, we are all saved by grace. Yes. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Let me see where that is. I've got stuff everywhere this morning. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for it is by grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. Through your faith, and this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God, not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do. No one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. No, it is the gift of God. It is the goodness of God, amen, that we are saved today. We have done nothing that says that we have earned heaven. Nothing says that we are worthy of heaven, but only the grace of God. Amen? Not by our works, not by anything that we could do or have done, but only by the grace of God. Amen. We're all a work in progress. We're all striving. Amen. John 8, 3 through 11. John 8, 3 through 11 says, the teachers of the law, and I think Pastor brought this scripture out, but I'm reading from the easy-to-read version. Says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman they had caught in bed with a man who was not her husband. They forced her to stand in front of the people. You know, the enemy loves to humiliate people. And so they forced her to stand in front of the people. They said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses commands us to stone to death any such woman. What do you say we should do? They were saying this to trick Jesus. They wanted to catch him saying something wrong so that they could have a chance to be against him. But Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground with his finger. The Jewish leaders continued to ask him their questions. So he stood up and said, anyone here who has never sinned should throw the first stone at her. Then Jesus stooped down again and wrote on the ground. When they heard this, they began to leave one by one. The older men left first and then the others. Jesus was left alone with the woman standing there in front of him. He looked up again and said to her, where did they go? Did no one judge you guilty? She answered, no, sir. Then Jesus said, I don't judge you either. You can go now, but don't sin again. Amen. The enemy wants to point a finger at you. I believe when Jesus knelt down and wrote on the ground with his finger, I believe he started from the oldest one to the least, and he wrote down each of their sins. And so they saw that, you know, Jesus knows. God knows the sins that we have all done. Amen. All have failed and fallen short of the glory of God. But he was writing, I believe, he was writing the sins down that they had done and said, you cannot point a finger at this woman. You cannot judge this woman. You can't judge anybody else's faults. You can't judge anybody else's sins. You need to judge yourself, amen? And that's for all of us. We need to judge ourselves. We need to live in that judgment-free zone, amen? And I want to end with this scripture. Pastor had began with this scripture, and I'm reading it just a portion, just verse 5, Matthew chapter 7, verse 5. Says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? In other words, how can I judge my brother for the things that he is doing? And then it says, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye. Amen? So we need to judge ourselves. We need to have ourselves right with God. We cannot, we don't have the right to judge anybody else. But we do have the right to pray for other people, amen? And so I want to leave with you this morning. This Oasis Christian Center is a judgment-free zone. But I want us to be challenged this morning that we ourselves are a judgment-free person, amen? So let's strive for that. We're all guilty. We all fall into that. It's something we think that, you know, sometimes we think we have conquered something, and then before you know it, we have fallen back into it. But, you know, just remember that none of us is perfect, that we all have our faults. And so we need to have grace and mercy for each other. Amen? And pray for those that you think are in fault. Pray for them, but in a good way. Don't pray, well, God, you know, smite them because of whatever they have done. But pray, you know, God, if they are in the wrong, if they have fallen, if they have sinned, if they've done wrong, God, I ask you to convict their hearts, make them right with you. And that's what we all want to do. We all want to be that judgment-free zone. Amen. Pastor, if you'll come up. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
Praise God. Before we close the service this morning, we want to give you an opportunity. If you never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, we want you to make that commitment to him this morning. And if you will, just bow your head and repeat this prayer after us today. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
I ask you to come into my heart.
To come into my heart.
Be my Lord and Savior.
Be my Lord and Savior.
I surrender my life to you.
I surrender my life
and
to
I
you.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for
in
it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And we have an announcement. Mm-hmm. We will be starting back our in-house, in-church services starting next Sunday morning. So... what we need you to know, there's four things that we put on the Facebook Live page, and you'll see them there. There's four questions we want you to ask yourself before you come. And we want everyone to come, but we need to let you know a couple of things. One is the seating of the sanctuary. We are going to be going by social distancing rules and guidelines. So the seating in this sanctuary, the main sanctuary, is going to be on a first-come, first-served basis. So the 6-foot distancing, I mean, if you come with your family, you'll sit with your family. If you come with your children, you'll sit with your children. If you, you know, but there will be 6-foot, we're all going to follow those rules. So our sanctuary won't hold as many people as normal, but we do have overflow rooms. We have a coffee shop with two parts in it, and we're going to be seating with closed circuit TV in the coffee shop. We also have the administration part of the building, and we'll be using closed circuit TV for the administration part of the building also. So, and if that were to get filled, we have other places that we can do this from, and we also have our drive-in services available outside because the service is going through the speakers right now, even as we speak. So we encourage you, if you would like to come and you answer those four questions that we talked about online, we would love to see you next week. It'll be the first time in many months that we've been able to have a service, and we're really looking forward to it. But we're asking you, please be patient with us because we're just getting back at this, and be patient with us on the, it is on a first come, first served basis on the way the seating is on this main sanctuary. Amen. God bless you and
praise God.
Hallelujah.
This time we'll ask Deborah to come up.
Praise God.